Blog Talk Radio.
It's an issue that not many care to talk about, but every year, about 2 million children are caught up into the global commercial sex trade. It's a big business that brings in big bucks, a whopping $150 billion a year. Women and girls make up 96% of victims of trafficking for the exploitation of sex. And many of them live under constant mental and physical threat. And if a female becomes pregnant, she is forced to have an abortion. And sometimes the procedures are being performed by an individual who is not licensed to do so. Good afternoon and welcome to Injustice Investigations. I'm Al Scott. Today is January 3rd, 2018. Happy New Year to all of you who are listening to today's show. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in. Today is the start of our new season with Injustice Investigation. And today we're kicking our show off. We're talking about the global commercial sex trade that is a big business, but it comes with a high penalty. Today, I am joined by my good friend, community activist and radio talk show host, Robert R. Thomas Jr. from the Real News Behind the News, and also community activist in Shreveport, Louisiana, Michael Stanfield. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, brother? Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir. Glad to have both of you on the show today, especially when we're kicking off our new season today. But we have a very serious topic that we're going to discuss today, and we've asked parents, if possible, to bring their kids in because this is a G-rated show, and we want the kids to listen, and if they're not available to listen now, the parents will go back into the archives and pull this show back up and play it for their kids, because we're going to be giving out some vital information, and we're giving out some warning signs to parents that their child might be caught up in sex trafficking or could be on their way to being groomed to be in sex trafficking. And we're going to be giving warning signs off for children so that they know what to look for when someone is trying to groom them into a global sex trade and stuff. But first, Michael Stanfield, again, welcome to the show. And I'm going to start with you today because you initiated this show. You contacted Robert Thomas and told him that you thought this would be a great show to do. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself and give a brief background on you, and then go into why you felt it was imperative that that we started talking about what is to some this taboo issue.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Yes, my name is Michael Stanfield. I'm a regional field marshal for the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, national chairwoman, Crystal Muhammad, and being born and raised in Shreveport, Louisiana, up on the Cooper Road. You know, I've seen good as well as the bad part of our neighborhood, and being on the front line of mobilizing the masses of our people, I see this as being a problem that is tearing down and breaking down our community, and it's an issue that needs to be addressed so that we can heal our people to where, you know what I'm saying, we can do better among ourselves. So that's why, you know what I'm saying, it fell on my heart, you know what I'm saying, I related on to Robert, you know what I'm saying, because I know he has the show that he does that, you know what I'm saying, we can bring it to light because there's a lot of things that are going on within our neighborhood that we see every day, you know what I'm saying, may know about some instances that's going on, but don't nobody want to address it for lack of words, or most folks will just look it out and say for peace sake. But really, it's not peace because, you know what I'm saying, it's harming. It's throwing us internal damage, but don't nobody want to really address it or speak on it because it's so taboo or touchy. They, you know what I'm saying, scared they might step on the wrong toes or, you know, a term that a lot of folks, they want we are known for their stigma they want to put on black folks. We love to look good, but are we actually being good? So, you know what I'm saying, we want to try to turn that narrative around, you know, take control of it. Stop just, you know, wanting to look good and actually be good.
Okay. I know we're doing this via phone, but someone, I don't know which end it is rattling paper or something. And
let me get some notes ready. Forgive me. I just had to run back from an appointment that I had to make, so I'm getting in. I'm settled now. I'm just getting my notes and stuff together.
Okay. Robert, I'm going to let you go ahead and bring us up to date on sex trafficking and how it's affecting the black community and why no one wants to talk about this subject, and it's something that I honestly feel it needs to be discussed because it's happening more than we think in the black community. Am I right?
Yeah, it's happening a lot in the black community, and reason why it's so prevalent because there's other factors that you have to really address before you really get off into the sex trade, because there's things that happen to a lot of these children, especially we want to keep the focus on children and teenagers, that there's a lot of issues that a lot of time push these kids and make them vulnerable and susceptible to the sex trade. You know, you have to address the issues such as child molestation. You have to address the issues such as, molestation. It's a lot of external issues that causes these kids to be susceptible. Because again, it's not like somebody's just kidnapping these kids. In some cases, that might be true, but the overwhelming majority of cases, these kids are vulnerable and they are susceptible to these pimps and other people who prey on them. So, there's a couple, you know, national highlight headlines, you know, that we can talk about. But again, we would like to also, you know, just start by talking about the hidden factors that causes these kids to be emotional, spiritually, and sexually vulnerable to these predators. So how would you want me to go from there? Would you like me to just give you some statistics about the sex trade, or should we start with the underlying causes of the problem and then build up into the to the sex trade?
Well, yeah, let's first deal with the underlying problem. But one thing I do want to ask you quickly, Robert, and I'm sure you're going to go into it later, but we were doing some research on this last night and this morning. Everything we found went back to, like, why it was so prevalent in the black community. And without telling you what they were saying, the reason why it's happening more in the black community, your personal opinion as to why do you think this is happening more in the black community? Is it because of poor black neighborhoods, a lack of education, no father in the home? What do you think is going on?
But again, there's a lot of factors. Again, poverty, could be a result, but, you know, it's hard to blame being poor on Uncle Tammy molesting his niece, you know, his nephew, rather. It's basically something that happens across the spectrum, you know. I mean, if you look at what's happening in the mainstream media, you see all kinds of sexual stuff going on, sexual allegations and sexual misconduct. But what happens in the black community a lot of times is we see these things happening, and because of that no snitching culture that we are indoctrinated with, we see it and we don't say nothing. Everybody knows that Miss Johnson's little 13-year-old daughter is messing with a 22-year-old dude.
But nobody say nothing because her homegirl thinks it's cool because she might get a nickel here, he might take her to buy a sandwich here. And no other people, grown ups, don't want to get involved because it ain't my child. But everybody knew it's not right for a 22-year-old cat to be messing with a 13-year-old girl. So a lot of times it's prevalent and it's allowed to go on in our community because simply we won't say nothing. You know, there's a culture of silence, and there's a couple of articles I can refer to on that. It's basically that culture of silence, and anytime something is done in silence, everybody else thinks it's okay to do. You know, so those are some of the main reasons why I would like to say I wouldn't say that it was as more prevalent in our communities. Because hell, you got some communities, some religions, some people. Some races and ethnicities, that it's cool. It's part of their culture to for you to give your 13-year-old daughter to a 27-30-year-old man. So it's not prevalent as prevalent in our culture. It's just well-hidden secret. It's like black people's best little-kept secret.
Exactly. Last night when you and I and Michael were on the phone, both of you brought up an excellent point, and I'm going to ask both of you to elaborate on that, if you will. You talked about music in the black community, and so I'm gonna leave it there. And whoever wants to go first can go ahead and tell how that is affecting the black family.
So you go ahead, Mike.
If I would chime in, or if you would look at the music that is mostly catered to our people. You know, this we don't have no real, as you would call it, rhythm and blues anymore, or love songs. All of it is straight, blatant. I mean, it's nothing for you to figure out what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? It really degrades. You know, it degrades our women.
Right.
It advocates jail or being thuggish, demeaning behavior for our young men, you know, and it's not geared around, you know what I'm saying, showing love. It's all about, you know, materialism, you know, and that's what our kids are listening to. That's what they're programming into our kids' mind. You know what I'm saying? Even on the TVs, the videos, you see the flashy cars, you know, you got to have a big medallion and this and that, and they try to make it feel like, or put it out there that way. If you ain't got this thing, you a square, you a nerd, you know, you this or that. And if you want to be on and popping, you got to do this way. You got to talk to women this kind of way, you know, and through, you know what I'm saying, the systematic programming of the system, we know that a lot of homes, there is no proper male role figure in the home. They're only... figure of a male is what they see on TV, you know, and a lot of these cats are blinded, are selling out their souls, you know what I'm saying, for the fortune and fame because, you know, back when I was coming up, we had groups like BDP, Public Enemy, different wars, you know, but as you see, now they pushed them to the backside. The if you want to be an old and popping rapper now, you got to have fingernails, you know, pretty much demasculize the male, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the images that they put up for that's all they're popping. So and these are the images that our kids are seeing and thinking, well, hey, this is the way to go, which is, you know what I'm saying, so misleading. And it's also, you know, it's like that first domino push, you know what I'm saying? They see that effect, and it's a domino effect. It just tumbles all the way down and breaking down how, you know, young men the proper way they should be brought up, you know, because like I say, you have guys is trying to put out a positive role model, you know, the way the media portrays, they don't know what's happening. They ain't with it, you know. And everybody wants to be a popular in it. And some of that reason why I'm so it makes a lot of our youth susceptible to these predators because they're seeking attention. So they try to show them, well, if you want to be get attention, this is what you got to do. And it's misleading our youth.
Okay, so basically, if I guess this could go either way, but if, for instance, a young girl is not validated at an early age at home, then she will look for validation in the streets. And so in order to feel acceptable or pretty or fine or whatever, then the streets, in so many words, will become her pimp, because no one was there to validate her at an early age. And so she looked to the streets. And so I guess what you're saying is that a lot of today's music can help with sexual trafficking of little girls, especially growing up too fast, because we listen to, like, Trina the Rapper and how she identifies herself, and she's the baddest, and we know what comes after that. And so then young girls begin to say that they're the baddest, and you understand what I'm saying, mm-hmm. right?
Right,
so
right.
Nobody is really watching the children and stuff. But one thing I want to say before we go further, because I think it's something that I know we have to get into. We have to get into what happens when a girl or a boy gets caught up into the sex trafficking trade. But before we go into what happens when they get caught up, we have to deal with the issue of how do they get there in the first place. And I know a lot of times, I know Robert's going to elaborate on this, a lot of things start within the home. But I remember I went to speak at a church some years ago, and the lady who had invited me to speak at the church, she said, I'm going to tell you something before we get here, out of town. And she said, one of the pastors that's going to be speaking with you tonight told a 14-year-old girl that God had spoken to him, and he said that he needed to purify her. And the only way that he could purify her was to have sex with her. So he convinced the little girl to meet him at a certain spot, and they went to a hotel, and they got out their clothes to have sex. But for some reason, he couldn't perform. He played with her, and then I guess sent her on her way. And that was all about that conversation. And so after we left, I said, I know who that preacher was. And she asked who, and I told her. And she said, how did you know? I said, I just felt his spirit. I felt his spirit, you know. And so, but here's my point for bringing up that, because this is a form of sex trafficking to me as well, because if I can't trust my pastor with my child, something's wrong. A pastor would manipulate a 14-year-old girl into having sex with him for his pleasures. It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with God. Back in 2013 in Shreveport, Louisiana, we had a pastor named, Andre Lewis, who was the pastor of Act of Faith Ministries. Well, he took three young girls, all under the age of 18. He took them across state lines with the intent of engaging in illegal sexual activity. And he was later convicted, and he received, if I remember correctly, it was 7-8 months in prison. But here's the thing about the pastor. This wasn't his first time having little girls. He had gotten caught before, but got out of it. That's a bad thing, because we're talking about a pastor, a man of God. That I remember coming up as a little boy after church, the pastor would come to the house, and you trusted him because he was a man of God. You could feel the presence of God within this man. But I guess a lot has changed since then, Robert.
Well, I want to read some briefly about how nasty some of these pastors really are. And again, it goes back to holding people accountable, because it seems like we as black people, we want to hold everybody accountable. The pastor is sacred. He gets a pass on everything. But before I go off into that, I want to address something that you had asked Mike, and Mike expounded and elaborated on it. I want to just touch a little bit deeper. We as black people in America, We're the only people on the face of the planet that do not have what most people would call culture. Other ethnicities and races come here. They come with a culture intact from thousands of years, you know what I'm saying, of family life, of spiritual life. When they come here, their culture is already intact. See, we came here and we were stripped of any culture that we have. Now what you have is a culture that is given to us by the media, which is a culture of death, of sexual promiscuousness. Right now, our daughters are being bombarded with this stripper culture. You see what I'm saying? Just look at the way some of these young girls dress. And you can't get mad at them because mommy is buying the clothes for them. You see what I'm saying? So we have been we have a culture that has been forced upon us through the media. Now, we were also some of the only people that don't realize the power of the media. But, I mean, I'm going to show you how powerful the media is. I mean, anytime Nike or somebody want to sell a new shoe, who they do? What they do? They go pay LeBron James or one of these athletes or superstars, you know, $30 million to do a 30-second commercial to advertise a shoe. And guess what? Sales for that shoe skyrocket. Why did they skyrocket? Because of the media. So now, again, like Michael said, you have well, rap music has changed. Well, I'm going to be real. You got a bunch of gay dudes that's promoting the gay agenda. You have a bunch of, since it's a G-rated show, you have a bunch of women who resemble prostitutes parading themselves in front of your daughters. So now you have a sexualized group of teenagers. They're highly over-sexualized because that's all they're seeing. From everywhere, from the music they hear, from the stuff that they watch on TV, the movies, even the video games, you know. So it goes back to a lack of culture, us being the only people not to have culture. Also, we have to talk about these single-parent homes. You see what I'm saying? You have homes with just a mother. Now, for all the single mothers out there, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that a woman can't raise it, but where's the man to help mediate these things? What we're seeing now in these single-parent homes with these single mothers is she falls in love with June-June, and 2 days later, June-June moved in. You know what I'm saying? A month later, June-June walking around in his boxes in front of her 13-year-old daughter, showing all his privacy in public, you know what I'm saying? And then a couple of months later, maybe a couple of weeks later, June-June is touching the little girl. Now, mommy is so caught up in June-June, where she can't recognize the warning signs, her daughter, even if her daughter comes and tells her. A lot of times these mothers would rather believe June-June than their daughters. So, again, that you know, there's a lot of things. But let's get back to these pastors. I want to just briefly talk about three nasty pastors. You know what I'm saying? That was up in Ohio. Now, I'm not going to read this whole article. This article comes from New York Times, and under fair use, we can use it. You know what I mean? You know, because we try to educate people, but we got to stop and start holding these pastors accountable. Because we're just going to read from right here. And just give me a brief. It talks about three pastors who were involved with one 13-year-old girl. Well, one pastor basically started having sex with the girl and started paying her, you know, hush money. Well, I'm going to just read it. The men, Kenneth Butler, 37, Anthony Hayes, and Cordell Jenkins, 47, were charged with conspiracy for child sex trafficking as part of an 11-count indictment handed down on Thursday in the United States Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Ohio. The three men pleaded not guilty. I'm going to read down. Mr. Hayes gave the girl money and told her not to tell anyone, saying it would ruin his family and his church, according to church court documents. He facilitated the victim being abused by several other men, including Mr. Jenkins, who repeatedly sexually exploited the girl at his home, in his office, at Abundant Life Ministries, and at a motel in Toledo, prosecutors said. Now, I'm not going to read more of that. You all get the gist. But again, you have people in positions of authority. Like, you hear about all the kids being molested by these teachers at school. You have a bunch of kids now who are being supervised by a bunch of pedophiles. And that goes back to the culture that we have embraced here in America, not just the one that they've given black people, but the culture in America is one of sex, drugs, and violence. So what you're seeing is a over-sexualization in American culture, but in particularly our community, because these things also facilitate, like I say, to the sex trade, but also lead to the penitentiary, also lead to the spread of STDs in our community. So, again, yeah, this subject is so vast, we might have to have another radio show on it. But, you know, I digress and let you go ahead, Alfonso.
And you know, you made a great point there, because there are many side effects to this, and you just brought up one, and that's STDs, you know. And when they're caught up into the sex trafficking trade, health is really not an issue to, I guess, what we'll call the pimp, because you will do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do it, how many times I tell you to do it, and that's it. And all the money is made, basically, it goes to the pimp. And when these girls and boys are caught up into the sex trafficking trade, a lot of times it's an individual that they're calling their boyfriend or their girlfriend or whatever. And so the thing is to get in here, and I got to groom you. And when I begin to groom you, you're calling me your boyfriend, but you don't know that I'm about to be your pimp, because I'm going to give you things that your parents is not giving you or cannot give you. I'm going to give you a cell phone. I'm going to buy you clothes. I'm going to give you tickets to concerts. I'm going to let you ride in my car. I'm going to let you drive my car. I'm going to do everything I can to make you feel pretty and acceptable by me. And when I get you to the point to where I know you can no longer resist me, then that's when the pimping comes in. And by that time, he has convinced the child to either go totally against what mama and daddy is saying, because mama and daddy just don't want her to live her life. But what the little girl doesn't realize is that if she don't have a life until she's 18 years old. But he has manipulated her. And once the manipulation comes in, then sex trafficking, it comes in. I spoke with a girl one day, and she said that she got caught up in that. And she got on the bus and met the guy. But when she got there to meet who she thought was a guy, I think about 16 or 17 years old, well, he turned out to be a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
But when he picked her up, "I'm taking you to meet the guy." It was his uncle that was picking her up to go meet her boyfriend she met through Facebook. Well, little did she know, she was in the car with a pimp. And that's exactly what he did. He beat her, bust her lip, black eyes and stuff, and he had guys to gang rape her, and she was put into a room to where they fed her every now and then, but she couldn't come out. There was no cell phones, there was no TVs, and they fixed her up, cleaned her up, and made her perform all kinds of sexual acts, because who she thought she was talking to on Facebook, she was not talking to. It was a grown man posing as a little boy to get her and put her into the sex trafficking trade to make him money. And so we know there are warning signs to look for before anything like this happens, gentlemen. But if the parent does not know the warning signs to look for, they're going to miss them all day long. And mm-hmm. if the children themselves do not know about the warning signs, well, they will miss them also. So we have to begin to educate parents on some of the warning signs that their child might be getting into sex trafficking. And so they can, when they see these things, they can start to pay more attention. And when you're buying a child a cell phone, my niece daughter, who's 13, she bought her cell phone, and she has a lock on it. And so her mother found out she had a lock on it, and she said, "I don't know why a 13-year-old girl would have to have a lock on her cell phone."
And she knows she shouldn't have a lock on your cell phone in your house.
Huh?
Well, let me jump in real quick, because I'm looking at an article right now, and this article is pretty graphic, but it goes along with what you said, because first and foremost, one of the most important things we as parents can do is monitor our children's social media activities. You see what I'm saying? There's no way in the world a 13-year-old go walk in my house and have a lock on their phone that I don't know the password to, especially if I'm paying for it. But in this story here, now this just happened a couple of weeks ago. A man killed a teen he met on Facebook, set her body on fire to cover it up after stabbing her 88 times. Now, this dude met a 15-year-old girl. He was 23. Met her on social media. She came all the way to see him. We don't know exactly what happened, but he winds up stabbing this little girl 88 times and then set her body on fire. How did she meet him? Through social media. So you have a lot of people preying on these kids on social media. So you as a parent have every right, especially if you're paying the bill. Even if they ain't paying the bill, you still should know what your who it is that your children are associating with. Remember when we was coming up, gentlemen? I mean, pretty much, mama and them knew everybody that came to our house. You know what I'm saying? But today, I mean, these kids are talking to people two, three states over. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And it's all through social media. So I just wanted to point that out. This happened recently. A 15-year-old girl met this 23-year-old guy on Facebook, drove or caught a bus to see him, and he stabbed this girl 88 times and then set her on fire.
You know, you're making me think about a story we did a while back in Shreveport. I can't remember the young girl's name, but she went missing at the age of 15. Now, she missed a whole semester of school, and then someone began to report her missing. Well, when we did the story on her, she was found in Allendale in Shreveport, Louisiana, and she was found at a bail bondsman's house, a grown man, mind you. And when the police went to the house because they heard it had been a shooting there, well, he was shot, the bail bondsman had been shot execution style, and they found his body in the living room. And they went to the back, and I think, if I'm correct, in a bedroom, they found a 15-year-old girl who also had been shot execution style, and she was also pregnant when she was killed. Now, here's my thing. I don't know how long she had been there. I don't know if she was pregnant when she got there or if she became pregnant while she was there. But I can't understand neighbors. You know that there's a child in this house, and the child is not going to school, and you see that she's pregnant. I mean, somebody would have to wake up and go like, something is not right with this picture, and this girl what just popped up out the blue, regardless of what who he said she was to him. But there ought to be something that goes, that enters into your mind is like, something ain't right about this here. Something is not right. So, you know, and they was trying to get her to come home, and she wouldn't come home. She shut down her Facebook page, started another one that nobody knew about. I'm sure if she saw her killer, when they pointed that gun at her, she wished a million and one times that she was back at home with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So
my question is again.
Go ahead.
No, my question is, where were her parents? She missed a whole semester. Where was her parents? I mean, the first, you know, few days of that. I mean, I don't know. When we talk about that, you know, it was mind-boggling. It still is. How could you allow your child? If I got a 15-year-old, again, I'm going to try to know where every move is. But, you know, it's hard nowadays with these kids nowadays. It's just hard, man. But that's crazy. Go ahead, Alfonso.
I want Mike to jump in here, but
I'm just gonna chime in on that. Quite a few topics y'all touched on. You know what I'm saying? When you're talking about the sex trade, you were talking about what the premise they get a child get there. Well, a lot of them, you know what I'm saying, because of things going on in the home, runaway. And they be at the disposal of these people who takes them in. So they feel indebted to them because he's putting up roof over your head, maybe, you know what I'm saying, giving you a few things, like you say, providing a car. But all these things come with a price. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
Everybody will tell you, nobody rides for free. So,
nobody rides for free.
He's giving you all these gifts. What does he want in return? You see what I'm saying? Somebody who doesn't really know you, didn't raise you, has no connection to you, always showering you with gifts. You know, there is a reason why he's doing that. You know, which, like I say, these are also some signs that, you know what I'm saying, parents can look for. If your child is starting to receive gifts or money and different things, especially by email or having things delivered to the house, and you didn't order it for the child. You know what I'm saying? Are they showing up to the house with new things on? Where'd you get this? Why? I didn't buy this for you. You steal it? No, I ain't stole it. My friend gave it to me. What friend is this? You know?
Exactly.
Being on the phone, you know what I'm saying, on the social media in odd hours. You know what I'm saying? That goes back to what Rob said about monitoring. You know what I'm saying? If you have a child and they got these devices, tablets, and whatnot, monitor what they're doing. They're in your household, you are responsible for their child. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because if they make a threat to somebody, the police gonna come and get you, especially if their child is under 18. Anything that goes on within your house or even in your vehicle, you driving, the law is gonna hold you responsible. So you should know what's going on. So when they come to you with it, you know what I'm saying? You will know why the police at your door. You'll know why the police pulling you over. In other words, that's what I'm saying. So yeah, as far as with the what you were speaking about the child at the Bell's Bum House, you know what we need to get back to is just stop looking out for my foe and no more. You know what I'm saying? We live in neighborhoods, so we need to be neighborly. You know, and not being nosy or you going dipping your nose in somebody else's business. You see something that don't look right and you say something. Because imagine how them neighbors feel now. That they found this out was going on, and they sit right there in the midst of all this here and letting all this go along around. You know what I'm saying? You're just as guilty as that Bell's Bum.
Exactly.
Because you saw this going on and then speak up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
So it's not snitching. It's accountability. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, you know, I'm sitting here and I see somebody breaking in your house. And I just sit there. It wasn't my house, you know what I mean? Or it ain't my stuff.
Right.
But and then when you ask me, well, yeah, man, I saw them over there, but I ain't know, you know, what they were doing or who's. You just sat there to one went in there because, you know, I'm gonna take you back, you know what I'm saying, when we was in high school. Now, you didn't have to be the one shooting dice or smoking a cigarette. But if the principal or teacher or something came in the bathroom and you was in there, everybody was getting in trouble.
Anybody going to
everybody going to the office. You see what I'm saying? Because even though you might have not been doing what they were doing in the bathroom, you were in the company, guilty by association. Which even the law would do that, which they call, you know, they got that RICO law. You don't have to be selling drugs. Your friend can be selling drugs, but because that's your friend, you're guilty by association.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, you brought out a great point as to one of the red flags or warning signs, if you will, and that's when your child is coming up with things that you know you didn't purchase for them. And so I don't think we spend enough time being family anymore. I tell this story all the time. I was at a restaurant one night, and about 12 people were sitting at a table, and it was a family night, but it couldn't have been much of a family night because everybody had an electronic device at the table. Some was on the phone, some was texting, some was sharing pictures with one another. And I think that's what we're missing, especially in the Black community. Everything goes back to the home, is that we don't spend quality time with anyone anymore. When we fix dinner, mama's in the bedroom eating. If dad is there, he's in the living room eating. The child is probably somewhere else eating. And at least one day out of a week, we need to get back to family and sit down at the table so that we can know what's going on with our children. And as Robert said, we have to monitor them, especially with social media accounts. And so then you have to ask yourself, we'll monitor them, but what is the appropriate age for a child to have a social media account? And I know we talked about this last night, and what age is appropriate for a child to have his or her own cell phone?
Well, like I say, when they can afford their own account, that's my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Because
and
like,
even then, though,
you hear the average one say, well, I got my child a phone because, you know what I'm saying, I might need to call and get in touch with him. Well, I mean, that's kind of giving your child a little too much rein if they so far out of reach that you need a phone to get in touch with them, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like we said, with all this going on, especially trafficking and different other things, you know, you're giving your child too much rope.
Yeah.
You know, we are giving our children too much rope. So if we need a cell phone to get in touch with them, you know.
But we don't want to believe that our 14-year-old daughter is having sex with the football team. You know what I'm saying? We live in denial a lot of times. And again, that goes along with how you going to tell me that your phone got a password on it? Well, as long as that phone comes through my front door, I need to know that password. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I mean, that's just being responsible as an adult. So again, I mean, I'm going to just be real. Most times, most parents can tell something is odd about their child. But again, it goes back, we live in a society now where, you know, even in single parent home, mama might be at work most times. You know, so, I mean, there's so many layers to this, man. Because a lot of these kids are being raised by their social media devices because mommy's at work and there's no daddy at the house. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, I mean, you know, YouTube raises them. I heard tell of a friend of mine was telling me about a young lady who's, 13, 14 years old, got caught watching porno on a cell phone, you know? So, again, it goes back to the sexualization of our society. It goes back to a lack of parenting. And but then, too, you know, we fail to talk about, again, the child molestation that goes on, you know, with family members, the incest, rather. You know, that's a big issue, a big silent issue in our community. Child molestation, incest, stuff like that has a way of scarring these kids where they become numb to reality. And a lot of them just feel, well, hell, my body's just a piece of me anyway, you know, and, you know, it pushes them over the edge.
Yeah.
But,
you know, something you just said made me think about when they're caught up into the sex trafficking. And I hope a lot of kids listening to the show today, because if after this show goes off air, if we scared them, then I think we've done great. But what we're scaring you with is not make-believe. These are facts. A lot of girls that go missing never make it back home. Some get strung out on drugs because whether you want to do drugs or not, they're going to put drugs in your system in order to get you to do exactly what they want you to do. And when you rebel, they're going to beat you. They'll threaten you. They'll do things to your family. And sometimes when you become too much of a problem, then the only thing they know to do is to kill you. And they have no regret. They have no hesitation with it. They will kill you wherever you are at. And so a lot of times, again, when you leave with them, what you know at home, you'll never, ever see again, because this is an industry, and it's about money, and you have, I mean, and let's talk about the people that pay for these little girls and little boys. You have police officers, judges, and pastors, respectable people in the neighborhood that pays big bucks to lay down and have sex with a child. And I think that's very pathetic, but that's the way it is, and it's been that way for a while. Incidentally, I want to give out a number. If you are caught up in sex trafficking or you know someone that is, the number is 1-888-373-7888. Again, that's 1-888-373-7888. Or you could text 233-733. That's 233-733. There is a way out for parents when your child is isolated or they're starting to mouth off to you. They're withdrawn from you. They have an attitude, or as Michael just said, they're getting gifts that you know you didn't buy and you probably couldn't afford. It is time for you to stop what you're doing and find out who your child is talking to on their cell phone and get into their social media account and find out what's going on. If a child leaves out of the room when the phone rings for them, I mean, I don't know why a child would have to leave out the room for privacy to go and talk to anyone. Whatever you're talking about on that phone, you should be able to talk about in front of me. But when you can't, then it makes me wonder what the hell is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to start paying more attention to what our kids are doing. Both of you brought up a great point this morning, and whoever wants to elaborate on it can. You were talking about some of the tools that we now have in society, and some of these tools, the people that created them, don't allow them, their children, to use them. Robert, I think you brought that up. Robert? Did we lose Robert?
I don't know. Well, yeah, because he might be having difficulty.
No, I'm here. I was actually, had hit the mute button on my phone by accident while I was trying to search this article about some warning signs. Go ahead, ask that question again, Alfonso, because I wanted to bring up a good point here.
We were talking about some of the tools that we now have in society today, and you were saying that a lot of the tools that we have, the people that created them do not allow their own children to use them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Steve Jobs, the one who invented the iPhone. I mean, Zuckerberg and top brass at Facebook. These people here do not allow their children to use the products that they themselves created because they know that these products basically are dumbing down a generation. Like, take for example, the other night, my son and I were sitting at the table. And what I try to do is teach my son to think. I can hand him any social media device or any electronic device right now and say, if I'm 40, some years old, and you're certain, how old am I? And all he got to do is just push a couple of buttons, and he gets the answer right there. But I take the phone away from him and teach him to think, to problem solve. So what happens with the introduction of social media, now you have a generation of kids who cannot think. It's a lie when they tell you that this generation is smarter than that's bull crap. They're actually dumber than what we are. They're more technical savvy, more savvy as far as technology, but they don't have the ability to think anymore. Because you can press a button again and get an answer instantaneously, and there's no problem-solving skills. This is why they're shooting each other like they are, because when they're faced with high-pressure situations, they can't think these things straight through. So they respond off what they see on these video games. You got to realize these video games that your kids are playing are the same video games that they train special ops soldiers with, police with. You see what I'm saying? So, again, it goes back to the violent culture, the sexual culture. Whereas a little girl is, a little boy is kissing on the girl's neck, you know what I'm saying, at school. Well, hell, if she has a cell phone, it's easy for her to watch porn. Next thing you know, she's in the bathroom doing, you know what I'm saying, you know, sodomy or something. So, this is why those people don't allow their children to use it. But we run out as soon as they get a new iPhone. You got some people run out buying their kids iPhone, $800 something. You know,
Exactly.
Just to be a part of the in crowd.
And something else to add to that, Rob, like you say, the reason why Steve Jobs and a lot of these big wheels at Google and different ones don't allow their family members to or their children to have these devices is because, you know, back in what it was, the late 60s, early 70s, when the FBI targeted certain what they call black nationalist group with their COINTELPRO.
Yeah,
it's still alive and active, but it's used and it's still breaking down. It's breaking down families now because they have people within their ranks that is their job to make these fake profiles and cause disturbances, go between, push up stuff, instigators. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you get on here and Google, you could Google something, you know what I mean? You're looking up something and they will give you false information on certain things.
Yeah.
Because all these things have tracking, you know what I'm saying, tracking devices on the tag numbers and different that. So they know who you are when you look in and search these different websites, and it's on them to decide what information they want to disperse to you.
Yeah.
So a lot of these, what they call Facebook beefs that leads to violence, there's an instigator in there somewhere.
Yeah,
you know,
and we
that's why, you know what I'm saying, you have our kids and you like you, but who is your friend here on how many? Oh yeah, go ahead on, man. I wouldn't take that. I would, you know, and I tell them, I always be leery of those if it were me type of people, because you know what I'm saying, you can post anything on Facebook, but somebody gonna chime in and say if it was me, I'd censor. Well, they're giving you this advice, but they're not the ones gonna have to suffer for the consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
all around the board, you know.
Right. And on Facebook, you can become anybody you want to be on Facebook. And a lot of grown men are setting up pages and putting pictures up as if they're this 14 or 15-year-old boy. And what they do, they have already studied this little girl. She just don't know it. They've studied her strengths. They've studied her weaknesses. They know what she likes, and they know what she don't like. And a lot of them know what goes on in the home. And so they're going to say everything needed to say to make this girl feel pretty, to make this girl feel loved and wanted. But a lot of times, that profile pic up there is not who you think it is. It is a child molester. And so parents need to start going into their kid's cell phone. They need to start looking at their social media account, you know. And I think some kids will probably say, well, I got to have some form of privacy. You shouldn't go on my phone. You shouldn't go through my social media account. So Robert, Michael, what do you say to the children when they say that?
Well, I'll
say
pay this for next year. I would
say
pay this for next year.
If, Why so much secrecy? Well, what did you have that you have to have secret when, you know what I'm saying? If I didn't change your diaper, I just saw your big secret. So what other secrets are you having? Because, you know, that's where you find a whole, when you find people that keep secrets or family that, you know what I'm saying, has secrets, that's because, it's a whole lot they're trying to hide that don't want nobody to know, like I said when we first started. You know, they're all about looking good. As opposed to actually being good, that there's a front there.
And you know what, Michael, since you said that, you know what I think some parents should do, and a lot of them probably won't agree to this, but test your children. You know, we talk about stranger danger. You warn them about that, but sometimes get somewhere and set up a fake Facebook page and see if your child will take the bait. And that will let you know where your child stands when it comes to sex trafficking or trying to be grown before his or her time. But just set up a fake page sometimes and see if they'll take the bait. And if they do, then that means you got your work cut out for you. And it's good because you can catch it in time and let them know what's going on. Because a lot of times, as I said earlier, when you leave home, you will never, ever see home again. And if you get to see it again, sometimes you're out of your righteous mind because they done got you hooked on drugs now. And now you become a prostitute. And a lot of times you become a prostitute until you die of old age or somebody take you off and kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you say, be scarred for life because, you know what I'm saying, these are the ones that be withdrawn. You know what I mean? They it certain might be getting certain situations or things to which, you know what I'm saying, they freeze up or don't want to respond or act, which is also a warning sign. You know, if your child is, you know, leery or gets very frigid around certain people or certain places, you know, that's something you may want to discuss as opposed to just, he just having a mood or she just in a mood, she just, you know, sometime. No. Investigate that. That's your child. That's your loved one. You need to know what's going on with, you know, within our family. You know, there are no coincidences. You know, cause and effect. For every action, there's, you know, a reaction. And when your child starts reacting in a certain way, an action has went on to cause them that. You know?
Exactly. And
because when babies are brought into this world, they don't have any fear of anything. You know what I'm saying? Fear is learned. Through experience.
Exactly. Hey, a lot of the information that we have discussed today, especially as far as statistics are concerned, we have shared them on Injustice Investigations Facebook page, and we also have shared them on Robert R. Thomas Jr. Radio page, The Real News Behind the News. Again, if you are caught up into sex trafficking, there is a hotline number for you to call. It's going to be 1-888-373-7888, or you can text 233-7333. That's 233-7333. And I know we did not get to cover everything that we talked about, gentlemen. So, as I think Robert said earlier on in the show, we're going to have to have another show on this because we want to give out more warning signs to the children, and we want to give out more warning signs to parents to look for that their kids might be getting off into something that they cannot handle, because this is a taboo issue, but it's an issue that needs to be discussed, because when you say it would not happen to your child, that's when it happens to your child. Robert, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
I just want to say in closing,
parents, there should be no secret in your house with your children. You have a responsibility and an obligation as a parent for your child's safety. Sometimes we have children that slip outside the cracks, but that's when the community comes in to step up. If you see somebody's little 13-year-old daughter over there with a 27-year-old man, you have an obligation and a responsibility to say something, because that child is a child, you know. So it's a community effort. And, again, if you have someone, if your children are telling you that somebody's touching them inappropriately, I don't care if it's pop-off, you know what I'm saying? You have an obligation to investigate, you know, what your child is saying. Just don't dismiss it and space it, you know, space it off. That's basically all I want to say in closing.
Okay, we're less than 10 seconds here. As always, we do thank you for listening to Injustice Investigations. And until the next time, you all be blessed. And remember, we exist without fear. Gentlemen, I thank both of you for coming on today's show. Y'all be blessed.
Thanks for having me. Y'all be blessed, man.
Thanks for having me, sir.